Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. And today, finally, after all this time doing the show, I get to talk about really one of my favorite topics, and that's about animals. And so today we're going to meet Susan Davids, who's a physical therapist who works on animals. Now, remember Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes, the late Andy Rooney? He once said that the average dog is a nicer person than the average person. I think we'd all agree that a lot of times we find animals to be a lot more likable than humans. We'll have to ask Susan what she thinks about that. But she is a licensed New Jersey physical therapist, but of course these days her patients are typically four-legged. And you know, the benefits of physical therapy for animals are really you're getting the same benefits that humans are getting, that is to improve the quality of your life and decrease pain. Susan also authored a book. She self-published it. It's called Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation for Animals, A Guide for the Consumer. So we want to hear a little bit more about that. And, of course, she's also a member of the International Association for Veterinary Rehabilitation and Physical Therapy. So, Susan, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, thanks, Andrea. I'm glad to be with you.
Yes, and, you know, I think that I knew a little bit about physical therapy for animals because many years ago I had read an article about physical therapy on horses, and that was the only thing that I was at all familiar with. But it only makes sense when I think about it, and I think when most people would think about it, all of the issues that affect humans, many of them do affect animals. And I think we love our animals, we love our pets, whether they're farm animals, domestic animals, and so it seems like a natural progression that we would offer this wonderful service to our animals. So I love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. The horse field, equine, kind of started in the 1960s. You know, mm-hmm. thoroughbred horses and in racing and show venues, and then around the late 1990s, it started to develop more into other breeds like dogs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, of course, you started your career working on humans.
I did, yes.
Yes, you did. So I'm curious, so how did you get into this field? What was your inspiration to study physical therapy?
Well, way back then, I was, you know, in high school, and I was interested in healthcare, and they showed us various careers, and this looked like a fun way to work with people. But I was also interested in physical activity and sports and exercise, and mm-hmm. it was just a great way to combine all those interests and work in healthcare. So that's what I chose to study, and I've been a physical therapist now for 38 years.
So a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of the biggest challenges when you're working with humans?
Well, you know, working with people was really mostly a joy. Challenges with people as opposed to animals, I find, is that unfortunately some people have some secondary gain when they're sick. They find something good in being sick, being out of work or collecting mm-hmm. money from a car accident or something like that. That I found frustrating because, you know, I always wanted to have patients that wanted to improve and wanted to follow up on their home exercises. Now, there weren't many like that, but, you know, there's enough that that makes it a challenge working with people as opposed to the animals.
Well, the animals don't know how to work the system the way people do, so isn't that right?
Yeah, that's true. And I don't even think they would have those kind of motivations. But
no, of course.
You know,
not.
I had a long, wonderful career with people. I worked in hospitals, and then I had my own private practice for 22 years. And you know, certainly it was a good experience, but I was ready for a change.
So you made a very big change, and so how did this come about that you segued into working with animals?
So, you know, I've always loved animals, and I just never put the two together, my career with animals, until I'd say around the year 2000, I started seeing little things cropping up in our professional journals about educational programs, and they called it canine rehabilitation. They didn't call it physical therapy, canine okay. rehabilitation. And I thought, well, you know, that sounds interesting, and I looked into it. And you had to already have been a veterinarian or a physical therapist. But, well, I'm a PT, so I started taking some classes part-time, and I just fell in love with it. So,
where did you take classes?
Classes through Northeast Seminars and the University mm-hmm. of Tennessee in Knoxville, the veterinary school. They have a program for canine and equine rehabilitation, and I chose the canine track. So okay. I took classes off and on part-time while I was working full-time, you know, for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally decided to sell my part of the practice and leave my comfortable job with benefits and with animals.
And so how long ago was that?
That was 8 years ago. I wound up retiring from human practice December 31st, 2007. Yeah, and mm-hmm. the plan was to take a year off. Ha ha.
Yeah,
I'm glad though. I didn't need a year off. I was ready to coursework with animals and into practice.
So how did you get started?
Started in February 2008. So I'm just beginning my eighth year now doing this.
Mm-hmm. But how do you start out? Because I guess one of the questions that I had, you're a physical therapist for animals, but are you working through a vet organization? Are people coming to you directly? How does that all work?
Okay, well, that's a very smart and logical question to ask. Most people do go and work for a vet. It's not necessary, mm-hmm. and that's not the way I chose to do it. I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. I certainly had to get my name out there through, you know, websites and things, but mostly clients find me through word of mouth or on the internet. And then what I do is when I take a case, I make sure that the pet has seen their primary veterinarian and is up to date with everything, and I give care concurrently with the vet and communicate with them.
Okay, that
so
makes
that
sense.
The veterinarian knows what's going on.
It's kind of
does that
based
make
on
sense?
A human. Yes, it does. It seems like it sounds like it's based on the human model. Yeah,
it really is.
It does.
It's so similar. The other reason I wanted to go solo was, you know, I had had a clinic-based human practice, and this time I just thought I really want to go into the homes and the shelters and
yes.
the places where the animal lives and do it a little more simply. The animals are so comfortable getting treatment where they, you know, where they live.
Well, that makes sense. That's right. So you are really making house calls to provide your service.
I am. That's right.
Very nice. Oh, I like that. That's very nice. That is a lot more comfortable for animals, of course. They don't like to have to get in the car and be hauled around to all these strange clinical settings. Obviously, that's a nice thing.
Right.
So
there's a couple limitations with that, but, you know, mostly we can talk about that later if you want.
Yes, okay. Well, obviously not all of your animals are, yeah, well, they're not all dogs and cats. We know that, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But so when you first started out, so how was that for you? I mean, obviously it's a huge change, you know, people versus animals. But I'm guessing the animals were probably a lot friendlier in some cases.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the animals are very trusting. One thing I decided to do when I first started out, which I really recommend that people do, is volunteer. So at that time, I had seen an article in the paper about the Popcorn Park Zoo down in Lacey Township, Mm-hmm. And I contacted them to see if they would be interested in, you know, trying some physical therapy. And they were. And so I actually, you know, a few hours a week down there for about 5 years, as I was building up my practice, you know, doing the house calls.
Now, did you ever have a pet yourself that had health issues that, you know, that this kind of really made you very sensitive to with other animals?
You know, since I've started this, I have a dog that's had some problems, but no, that wasn't the case. I guess in the beginning, I think I just saw it as a way to combine the natural skills that I had with animals with my professional skills.
Mm-hmm.
As a therapist.
So what are some typical things that, as someone who owns a pet, that you might seek out your assistance for helping your pet?
Okay, well, it's very similar to with people, too. For instance, there's arthritis of the joints. You probably heard of something called hip dysplasia.
Of course, yes.
And cruciate ligament tears.
Mm-hmm.
There can also be herniated discs in the spine. Animals can get paralysis.
Yeah, it is sounding very human. Yeah, it is. It really a lot of the same things that, you know, that would affect us. I see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then fractures and diabetes and neurological problems. So those are a lot of typical things that I treat.
And so someone comes to you with something, arthritis, hip dysplasia, someone, you know, brings their pet to you. So what are the kinds of things that you do as a pet therapist?
Okay, well, you know, I don't know if you've ever had physical therapy yourself, and I don't want to get too personal here. But, well, okay, you'd be surprised. A lot of the same things. I do cold laser, electrical stimulation, massage, acupressure points, stretching, you know, helping the pet learn how to walk again. Sometimes we have to measure for wheeled carts or harnesses or braces. And sometimes I have to refer them for things that I can't bring to the home, such as a pool. You know, like hydrotherapy.
Yes. And where do the pets go for that?
Well, there's veterinary centers such as Red Bank Veterinary Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They have a large rehab center with underwater treadmills.
Oh.
And there's underwater treadmills, and then there are some canine swim facilities. There's one in Millstone called Showplace Farms. So,
and how do the pets react? You know, they're in pain, and there you are, a stranger coming into their home, and you're manipulating them. And how is that?
Believe it or not, it really works out nicely. You know, you kind of part of it you learn in school how to approach an animal. part of it you just figure out as an animal lover. You know, some pets, you can tell right away they don't want to look at you. You don't look at them. You let them approach you. Others want you to come right up and just, you know, grab them and love them, and you just kind of figure it out. Once in a while, I have to use a muzzle, but I've only had a problem one time. I was bit, and you'll die. It was a chihuahua that bit me. Right?
Yeah, sometimes the little dogs are crazier than the big dogs. Yeah. How about that?
But it's really interesting because when you're in their home, I think they're very comfortable, and they, you know, it takes a few minutes. They're not quite sure what you're doing, but after a while, they kind of figure it out. You know, they think that you have good intent, and they sort of let their guard down and relax and let you work with them. It's a lot of fun.
That's nice. So you must feel really so, it must be so satisfying for you to make such a big difference.
Oh, well, thanks.
These animals.
You know, once in a while there's a case that you just can't help with, but in the vast majority, physical therapy really makes a difference, you know, which I think has been the driving force that when I decided to write my book, you know, was it just what a difference it does make. And the other thing I wanted to mention about what's cool in the home is if there's other pets, they sort of all come out from wherever they're in the house and sort of hang out around you while you're working with.
Yeah,
and watch. So you kind of feel like you're helping the whole family, you know, when you help the pet.
Yeah, I like that. I definitely liked that whole concept. Very nice. Very nurturing for all the animals.
Well, thanks.
So obviously,
you know,
animals don't speak, and I think in my mind a big challenge has to be, you know, for a person you can say, does it hurt? Am I helping? Ask questions. So how do you overcome that challenge with an animal who can't, you know, you can't converse with them? Literally, you can't.
Yeah, that was my biggest concern when I went into the field because, you know, when you're working with people, you go through this whole litany of taking a history and asking all these questions.
Exactly.
And after a couple of months of working with the animals, I thought, man, taking that history was almost more encumbering. You know, the animals communicate a lot more than you realize they do. And they really do tell you where it hurts. You just have to use your heart and your hands and go slow, and they do communicate with you. So I don't care about all those histories anymore. It didn't. I've learned that you don't need them. Yeah. You can just.
So other than, you know, obviously not being able to speak to the animals and hear what they have to say, but I understand what you're saying, how you approach them. But what are the other challenges that you didn't face in your previous career working with humans?
Well, I didn't have people kiss me like the animals kiss me all the time.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
That's a joke, sorry. Basically, it's just more of physical about, you know, getting up and down from the floor. You know, you really have to work in a lot of, you know, a lot of different kinds of environments. And, you know, you get dirty and a lot of hair on you and so on. But I don't really consider those challenges. They're just differences.
Yeah.
Say the biggest challenge is just the driving around New Jersey is the biggest challenge, trying to get to people's house and get there on time.
Well,
but,
what other kinds of animals besides dogs have you worked on?
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's
now
a,
we
there's
open
a
the
lot
can
of work there. Yeah, right. No, that's okay. That's okay. I think from being down at the Popcorn Zoo, I started to see lots of other species that could use PT. So I have worked with, I've worked with farm animals like goats, pigs, cows. I've worked with a camel, a llama.
A camel.
I've worked with some birds like a swan. I've worked with a reptile, I think, an iguana, a little monkey. Oh, just about every animal
now,
you can think of.
Let me ask you, tell me about the camel.
About the camel, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the camel was Princess that used to be owned by Doris Duke down at the Popcorn Zoo. Unfortunately, unfortunately, she's deceased now.
Yes.
The camel. But she had Lyme disease and needed some therapy on one of her elbows. And she was a very sweet old girl.
Wait a minute, we're talking the camel, not Doris Duke.
Right, Doris Duke was deceased as well.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah.
Okay, the camel had Lyme disease. Wow, all right, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, actually, after Doris died, I guess there was a problem with some of her exotic animals really weren't being cared for, and that's how the camel got the Lyme disease. I think commingling with some white-tailed deer, something like that.
Oh, got it. So, and what about the iguana? What did you do for an iguana?
Okay, the iguana, as I recall, had gotten its little claw caught in something in a cage, and sort of hung there in that position overnight, and the owner found it the next morning, and it had a little nerve palsy in the front leg. So I did some electrical stimulation and a little bit of range of motion with the iguana, with the owner helping me, because I had not worked with a reptile like that before. But that went fine. That went really nicely.
An interesting range of animals. Now, I know about, we have to talk about the pig, like there's only one pig. You had told me about this a while ago, and I saw photos on Facebook, and I mean, that was a very large pig. So,
could you believe how big that pig was?
Oh, I was really blown away looking at those photos. So what's the story with that pig?
Right. That pig's, yeah, I know. That pig's story is actually online. If you go to the cow sanctuary, this is a lovely farm animal rescue sanctuary in Cumberland County in New Jersey. So this pig was born with a front limb, sort of like thalidomide babies were back in the 50s. It's just a small, shrunken limb that doesn't touch the ground.
Got it.
So he's a tripod, walks on the three legs. He's gotten a lot older and kind of heavy, and he's gotten very arthritic in his leg that still works. So, you know, he's having some mobility issues. But he is a 1,000-pound farm boar, basically, you know, a farm pig. And they are huge.
Yes, he looked huge. And is that the biggest animal you ever worked on?
Well, the camel was bigger.
Oh, the camel, okay.
Yeah, the camel was definitely bigger. But, I've worked with a couple cows.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the biggest pig.
So how did you help this poor little pig, but how did you help the pig?
Well, I did some cold laser. And the thing is, when I got down there, the caretaker said to me, "Now, you know, he doesn't like to be touched." And I thought, what? You know, I'm a physical therapist. I touch my patients. So I had to find a way. And, of course, he was growling at me and very angry. So I had to just kind of sit and talk. I had to sit and just talk to him for a couple minutes, which probably sounds silly, but they do like to be talked to. And then I started slowly with laser and something called electromagnetic field loop and some therapeutic touch. So,
you kind of soothed the pig somewhat with your voice, and I would guess with any animal that, you know, seemed a bit unfriendly or unnerved at first, that you just have to rely on that to just kind of make the animal feel at ease.
Yeah, usually I find if I just sit and talk to them, even if I don't make eye contact, if I just sit near them and just talk to them, they usually respond. I talk to them just like they can understand everything I say. It usually works.
Well, so far they haven't spoken back, which I guess is a good thing. But, it's. Do you ever just say to yourself, "Oh my God, I can't believe what I'm doing. This is really an amazing thing that that you're offering people and their animals." I'm thinking of the iguana, and I know growing up, you know, my brothers had all kinds of lizards in the house, and we had many issues with our little iguanas and lizards. And you know, years ago, I guess people just wouldn't have known this didn't exist as an option for people. So it's a marvelous thing that it does exist as an option.
Thank you.
Very wonderful.
Well, now, I'm just glad I've been able to work with other, you know, species. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's really pretty cool because obviously that the exposure to all different animals only makes you better at what you do. But what an education. That's the kind of stuff you can't learn in school, right?
It's true. I mean, I just learned about dogs, and when there was these opportunities to work with other species, I had to crack open books and call veterinarians. You find that, you know, even under bird wings, it's the same humerus, radius, and ulna that we have in our arms. So, you just have to go on that and a little faith. And, you know, I've been able to kind of open up some new territory, I think.
Now, let's talk about where you are right this very minute while you're on the phone with
yes.
me and what you're doing for them.
Well, thank you. I love this organization. I'm at the Monmouth County SPCA in Eatontown,
mm-hmm.
and I come here every Wednesday and do a few hours of pro bono work. And my main job here is to work with animals that have either come in abused or neglected or have some type of an injury or a medical issue causing them to not be able to be adopted.
Yeah.
So the cool thing is I get to work with them and help them get better and then help them be able to find a family and a home. I don't do that part of matching people up, but I get them to the point where they can go out on the floor and be seen by people and
right.
adopted, and it's a great thing.
What are some of the problems that you encountered there with the animals that you've had to deal with?
At the SPCA? Well, right now I have a little cat that came in the kitten season last spring with a spinal cord injury, and I've gotten him in a wheeled cart. In fact, he's being adopted tomorrow.
Wow.
So that was really exciting. And then I've worked with some pit bulls that have come in with horrible injuries from fighting and so on, and helped them heal, and some of the behavioral people with their other issues, and we try to turn them around and get them adopted too.
When you see the animals, it's fairly common now to see animals in their wheeled carts, dogs. I've seen lots of them. So do they take to them very well?
For the most part, if they're motivated to walk and the cart fits right and it's mechanically sound, yes, they do very well with the carts. I mean, some animals are a little unsure at first, but if you start to show them, you know, what that cart can let them do, they usually really love it. So I mean, I had a lot of fun with this cat in the cart.
Now, is it unusual that an SPCA, such as the one in Eatontown, would bring in a physical therapist for their animals?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there really aren't many shelters that recognize that that's something that can help. And they've been wonderful to me here. I've been here for a couple of years now on Wednesdays. So, you know, it's just mutually beneficial.
Yeah. Susan, what do you just love, love, love the most about what you're doing?
Oh, gosh. Interacting with the animals. Just being with them and just that one-on-one interaction and just seeing I just see God in animals, you know, I really do. I just love interacting with them and communicating with them. It's my favorite thing.
I think the other thing I want to say is
the family too. Helping the whole mm-hmm. family is great.
Well, animal love is so pure. It's so unconditional. You know, it's so different than human love. So humans could, I think, take a few lessons from the wonderful animals on the face of the earth. Now, we are almost out of time, and I just want to remind all my listeners that within the hour, I'll have my blog up there, and I will put links to Susan's website and even a link to the cow sanctuary in case you want to read about the infamous pig. What is the pig's name, by the way? Does it have a name?
Oh, his name is Patrick.
Of course. Patrick. Okay. Patrick the Pig. So I know we're going to want to read about him. But, you know, it really was my pleasure to have you as a guest today. I'm an animal lover, and I just love the field that you're in. I just think it's a wonderful thing, and it must be really so rewarding for you.
Well, thank you.
That is sort of, is kind of like God's work, you know, helping animals when they're so underserved in so many ways. So
it's just a privilege. I feel very lucky.
Today was a great day for animals, and thank you all for listening. And as I always like to say, can 30 minutes change your life? Maybe it can. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr, and I want to say thank you to my guest, Susan Davis, physical therapist for animals at Joy Care OnSite. Thank you, Susan, for being with me. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.